we're really, really blessed. We may not understand, always appreciate it. We're blessed to have so many faithful people in this church, and one of the most faithful is Milton. He, whenever we call on him, he's right there. And a couple weeks ago, he was prepared because we didn't have anybody, and that was the week we had to cancel because of the ice. So Effie told him, put this in his back pocket. And Kareen doesn't even know what he's going to say. But we do appreciate you, Milton, and your willingness to step up, and we're anxious to hear what you have to say today.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
First of all, I count it a privilege that you all have enough faith in me to come out and listen to whatever it has to say. Before I even get into it, I like to pray. Dear Lord, as I come before you this day, I ask that you let the people see all of thee and none of me. Let me say something that will bless someone that when they leave here, they'll feel better than they did before they came. This is my prayer in your son Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the title of this song, or of this message, or you want to read the...
That's up to you.
You want... No.
I said you got the boss name.
Okay. You want to read it first then?
Sure.
Okay.
Milton asked me to read a scripture. It's in your bulletin if you want to follow along. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.
Amen. With that said, I told her that I might sing a verse of a song, but, well, I'm going to try it anyhow, if you all will allow it. Oh, Lord, it's me again. Oh, Lord, it's me again. I know I talked with you early this morning. I know I spoke with you last night. But you see, I have no one else to turn to. So, Lord, I call on you. Oh, Lord, it's me again. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, it's me again. Not my father, nor my mother, but it's me again. Not my sister, nor my brother, but it's me again. I know I spoke with you early this morning. Yes, I realize. Oh, I realize that I spoke with you last night. But you see, I have no one else to turn to. So, Lord, I call on you. Thank you. That was one song that I wrote about 20 years ago, and I'm still calling on him this day. Title of my message today is, What's Love Got to Do with It? Now, I told Laura that I wasn't going to come in trying to sing Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do with It? And you know, there, I think Stevie Wonder and him had a song, What the World Needs Now is Love and More Love. If there's anything that's just too little love, is love. So I got to thinking about the situation that this world is in now. And what is it that's going to get us out of where we're at? And I got to thinking about love, and I looked in there and I said, well, let me see what the Bible says about love. King James Version, and what I went into, love was mentioned 310 times in the Bible there. And out of all of that, there was one, and you all think about it when I say this, that was the greatest love that God ever performed, ever gave to us. And think about what that was. But you know, in the scripture, it talks about love, and we look at this world the way it is today. There's hatred, so much hatred. You know, God says, how can you say that you love me and hate your neighbor? You know, we find hate in anything. I don't like Laura because she's short. Laura don't like me because I'm black. But we both love God. And I use Laura because I can get away with that with her. Now, I can't do that with everybody, but we've known each other for years and years. So, but I'm just saying, you know, people don't like, there's denominations that don't, if I'm Baptist, I ain't about to go to a Methodist church. I mean, but we're getting the same, and that's an example, that's not me now. We're getting the same message. We're supposed to be serving the same God. And how is it that we can keep saying that we love God, but yet and still we hate each other? What this world needs now is more love. You know, they're contemplating, Russia is contemplating war now because they don't like what the Iranians are. They don't, it's somebody that they don't like, they just go to war with them. Where is love at in our life these days? You know, so many of us, we use that word and we use it so sparingly. Or we'll say that we love our children. Well, that's fine. We're supposed to love our children. That is, the children, as we know, is a gift from God. Even if it's an unplanned pregnancy, that's still a gift of God, from God, because God give us life. And that is life. Love in this world today is so scarce among people. We find any kind of reasons whatsoever. You know, we look in the Bible, and like I said in the scripture, you know, the first commandment is love thyself as I first love you. You know, love thy neighbors. We go on about, you know, different religions, and somebody will say, well, you know, them sanctified people, all they do is make a lot of noise. But the thing of it is, are they making the noise to the right person? You know, and they do. I remember as a child growing up on the east side, on Green Street there, about three blocks from where I grew up at, there was a little white church there. And in the spring of the year, they would open up the windows. And three blocks from that church, you could sit there and listen to them sing. And this is a white church in a black neighborhood. But, you know, they had the spirit in them. They had the love of God. And you could well open up your windows when they open up theirs or just sit outside and listen to them. They was doing what God had said, do. Love thy neighbor. We were their neighbors as I first loved you. You know, we look at back into the Bible and we look at so many things. You know, that you know, the love of God, you know, when we first came to being, we asked ourselves, Father God, you know, bless this world, bless us that we will become what you want us to be. You know, when God first took away all of the things, you know, Job's wife said, cuss him and die. Why? You know, why? Because God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So still, even today, you know, like say, in when a lot of preachers, they'll get up and they said, you know, if you love the Lord, you'll give $1,000 seed. I didn't know that God had a price on it. You know, and I think what I've always heard, just love it. And you go to thinking about $1,000 seed, how many people in that church don't have $1,000? Does that mean that God don't love you because you don't have $1,000 to give? And I know I said I would not talk about, you know, the seeds and the thing, but God said, come and give what you have. You know, we often complain about what God has blessed us with. Well, you remember when they were working in the fields and Jesus said, you know, come on and I'll pay you a mite, which is one cent. Is that, I think that's correct what a mite is. And then the lady came later on and he gave her the same amount. And everybody complained, but she didn't come till later. And you gave her the same amount that you given us. But the thing of it is, if you make a covenant with God, don't worry about what anybody else is receiving. Because if you made a covenant with God, then God is going to give you your blessings. You got your blessings. But so many of us, we complain about, you know, well, I look at my neighbor next door, he's driving a new car. You're driving that big new truck, and it had to cost him a lot of money. Well, yeah, but you don't know that neighbor may be struggling to pay for that truck, where God has blessed you with good health, and that neighbor may not have good health whatsoever. So love, learning how to love is so hard. We look at our loved ones when they lay on the bed of afflictions, when they may be in their last hours. We were talking about that earlier. And we do love them, but God loves them best. God loved them more. God gave them to us. And just mostly for a little while. And a little while may be 100 years, but only he knows when he's going to call us home. But you love them while you have them there. And know what the real meaning of love means. You know, you can't love somebody today and then hate them tomorrow. That's as she said, a glorified affection. You know, in the old Bible, like I said, it was 10 times love is mentioned in the Bible. And the new version of all these different Bibles, it's 1,039 times, because people have mixed up love with affection, you know. And I'm not saying their Bible is wrong. I'm just saying that now all of a sudden, where God had gave us the commandment how to love and what to love, affection has now become love. Charity is love. You know, you give a love offering, giving a love offering. So offerings have become love. And it's all in the new Bible, you know. I don't know what it is. A bunch of different new versions of the Bible that's out there. But love itself, we need to understand that God is love and given us the opportunity while we're here on earth to do the best that we can to keep his commandments and keep it holy. You know, so often that even with myself, I'll go out and somebody will say, well, Milton, you did this and you did that. I'm human. We're all human. But at the same time, if we can do what we have pledged to God to do, you know, God, give us mercy. God, and he does give us mercy. Because of the love of God, we have mercy in the things we do. And doing things that we know we shouldn't do, as long as you can turn to God and ask him for forgiveness, you know, because God loves you and he'll forgive you, but you got to be able to ask him to forgive you and to show your love for him. So we talk about so many things in this day life, you know, that the young people is doing this, the different marriages, you know, among the same sex marriages. And God may not, and I say may not because I don't know. He may not sanction that because the Bible says one man and one woman. But once again, the man also wrote the Bible was supposed to be under the confliction of God that the Bible was wrote. But if you love somebody, you can't help your feelings for them. And if it's true love, love is love. But the biggest thing that I think in this world now that's going to get us from where we at with all of the fighting, with all the corruption, you know, is that we got to turn to God and ask God, please, dear Lord, give us what we need day by day in order to turn and look at each other and say, I love you. I love you because God first loved me. And be able to turn on your television and look at TV, and instead of the wars and everything that's going on, we ask, when we pray at night, you know, we pray to God and ask him, God, give us what we need to stop this fighting. But God said, in the last times, there will be wars and rumors of wars. And that's what's happening now. So these days upon this earth are probably not long. He said, you know, fathers will be against sons, sons against fathers, mothers against daughters, daughters against mothers. More often do you read in the newspaper or see on the news where some son has killed both father and mother, probably for the drugs money that he didn't have. Well, that's the devil. The devil hates love because the devil is all about destruction. But God is love. And knowing that all of these things are happening, I think that we're living in the last days. And for that reason, we need to get ourselves together. You know, we're a small church, but we are a church that can make a difference in a big world. We can make a big world. You know, I often tell people that nobody's born prejudiced. We're all born the same. Prejudice has to be taught. And be taught by those that probably don't know God, especially in their homes. And I told one guy, young man, and he was talking about, well, I don't like this and I don't like that. I said, being prejudiced, if that's what you want to do, if that's what your family taught you to do, you can be prejudiced, but leave it at home. When you get ready to leave home and go out into the world, put your prejudice in the closet and pick up God's love. And go out into the world and show them that you still can love. There is such thing as, you know, not knowing anybody that did anything good for you. You'll hear people say, ain't nobody never did nothing for me. And then you forget, God gave you life. Mother and father's mother birthed you, but God gave you life. And you say, nobody's done nothing for you. You think about, what have you done for others that will appreciate, and to your father that's in heaven that will give a blessing back to him. You know, so much often we look at self, and we don't think about the other person. You know, we have beggars on the street right here in Carbondale. Your pocket may be full of money, but you pass by him because you say, I'm not going to give him anything. He's probably just going to go buy alcohol with it. But if God has blessed you, and you feel that this person is going to buy alcohol with it, once you give it, and you give it out of love, not because out of want, but you give it to him out of love, then you let it go. And ask God that, you know, whatever it is that he needs, God, then you put it on his mind to do what you need to do with. But so much, so often, we ourselves find being guilty of not doing what God has said, love thy neighbor as I first love you. You know, give of yourself when you think when you think you gave all that you can, ask God to give you the strength to give you more. This church itself, like you say, with the shoeboxes. The shoeboxes, it's just not shoeboxes. When those shoeboxes leave this church, even though I didn't help fill them, but I know those shoeboxes leave here with love. They may be filled with other things, but most of all, they're filled with love. And when some kid opens them up, they may see a little doll, a little truck in there. And it brings a smile to their face. That's because there's love in there with them. The love of this church sent it all the way across the ocean to make some little kid smile and know that God loves him, you know, no matter where you're at. And, you know, I knew it wasn't going to come a lot of scriptures out of the Bible. And as soon as I said, I'm not a preacher. I'm not trying to preach to you. But I can give you a message that you can take home. And you can ask yourself, each one of us can examine our own self and say, am I doing what my God would like for me to do? Am I keeping his commandments? Am I doing the best that I can do, not just in my home, but even in my community? As you leave here today, you know, asking yourself that. And we talk about the love of God. And I thought I was going to ask you from the beginning, what do you think that God's biggest love offering is in the Bible itself? And I thought, well, if I ask them, I'll probably get 20 different questions. But if I ask them, I may get the same question all over. And to me, God's love happened on Calvary's cross when his only begotten son hung on that cross. Nobody took his life. It was his life. He gave up his life that we may have a chance to the tree of life for everlasting life. That was God's only son. But God allowed his only son to hang on the cross, to be pierced in the side, hung there. The sun went down on the sun. And we look at it and say, little things that we can't do, how many of us would give our only son in order to save someone else? He gave his only son that you and I, even though we wasn't born in, would have a chance to the tree of life to go home to see our heavenly Father. We just got to be able to love enough like God loved, and able to see that day come. When we leave here today, think about it in your heart. If God gave his only son that we may be able to have a chance, what can I do? What can I give of myself to make people know that I am a child of God, that I accepted that gift that Jesus gave to me as he hung on the cross? Even as a thief that hung to him, next to him, he asked, Lord, remember me. Remember me in paradise. Being a thief, Jesus knew his love would be covered by him. And so today, I thank you. May not be all the scriptures in the Bible, but it's a message. It's a message that maybe needed to be here. Maybe if the church was full, there would be a lot of different people with different things said, yeah, you know, but this is a small church. And maybe God don't intend for this church to be full, because there may be a whole lot of different attitudes. And right now, I think that we are a beautiful church. We get along with each other. You know, I think we truly love each other. And that's what God is looking for. He's coming back like a thief in the night, looking for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. You know, we may not take up $1,000 seed. That may not be the church he's coming back looking for. He said coming back without a spot or a wrinkle. And if you got a congregation of 1,200 people and you said the only way you can be blessed is get $1,000 seed and only 15 of them can give that $1,000, are you saying there's other 1,185 people is not going back with God because they didn't have that money? But he said he's coming back looking for a church without a spot of a wrinkle. And everybody that forms themselves together is not a church. It could be a gathering. You know, we used to say to some people, a Sunday evening country club, they just got a building they call a church. You got to belong to the country club, but you got to give your membership. You got to pay for a membership. But here in God's real church, we have real love for each other. And I think that's the smile coming through that door when I see Laura in the morning and Nancy smiling there. That's love. You know, no matter what, I'd hate to see somebody standing at the back door. First thing you see is an offering plate. You know, you got to plant your seed if you want to get what we got to give you out of this church. That's not love. So as we go today, let us each examine ourselves. When we use that word love, let us be real about it, knowing that what we say, sometimes we tell our wives and our husbands, honey, I love you. And at the same time saying, you didn't pick them clothes up. Your shoes is there. Well, if you love them, why didn't you pick them shoes up? Why didn't you pick those clothes up and put them where they need to go? So that word love comes out sometimes very, very easy. It's easy to say it, but it's hard to show it, and it's even harder to live it. So that's my message for today. Like I say, it may not be one that you shout, get up, turn flips, run around the pews, and, you know, said, okay, we're going to heaven tonight because I just got saved. And we may be all called to go to heaven tonight. We never know. Our days upon this earth is numbered. No man knows the time nor the day nor the time. So I ask you today to take home with you yourself and ask, what can I do to make this world a better place to live? What can I do to show my love, my genuine love, to make this place a better world to live? Every church ought to be like Boskydale Church, where you can come through the door and see a smile, where you can talk to your neighbors and not be saying, hey, usher saying, sit down, sit down, sit down, make room for somebody else. We would love for this church to be full, but God will send us what we need and not so much of what we want. And that's the main thing. We just ask God, please, God, have mercy upon us. And in the time that you see that we need, then we ask that you fulfill that for us. Thank you.